begin with a word of prayer together. Our Father, we want to acknowledge that we're going to need much grace, much wisdom to understand what we're going to study the next couple of days. We come to you as people who desire very much to learn, to discover, to be enlightened. We recognize our need for that word of encouragement somehow to help us cope with all the challenges, problems, pressures of life. I pray that you will teach us how we can most benefit from spending time in this retreat here. Pray that you will help us to keep our hearts and our minds open to what we're going to hear, what we're going to discuss, what we're going to learn. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, for those of you who are fairly new or very new to our church retreat, where we have a very focused and concentrated study of the scriptures, we understand where you can really find it hard to concentrate. And one of the ways in which you can concentrate is to raise questions. And I mean raise questions. This is not like a worship service, so you can ask questions, and anytime you wish, raise your hand, and we'll be very happy to interact with you. It will take some getting used to study this word in depth. We have 8 sessions, and each session is an hour and a half if we don't run over time. Okay, so that's a lot of hours, the next 2 or 3 hours. And, we think that it is worthwhile. Too many people are not used to thinking, reading God's Word in its depth. We're going to try. Okay? So it is this that is on this note that I want to begin. We begin with goals. Every time we come to a retreat, we ask ourselves afresh, what are our goals? You can add on to these goals, by the way. These goals are things which I would want to tell you very honestly I'm thinking about. And of course, you would have your own. By all means, feel free to add on to these goals. And the first one begins with understanding why we need to hide God's Word in our heart. Why? If you were to think that over here, you're going to have a package content to memorize, you will be wrong. We just want to help you to know why. Why memorize? I had a very, very intriguing letter from Germany this morning. And this was a young man who has worshipped with us, been in Singapore twice, worshipped with us twice, and he said, "I'm sorry, I didn't meet your acquaintance." So I told him, "Next time you come, please come and say hello." He said that he's been following our worship services, and he says that I feel I'm part of family of Bethany. So I said, "I'm very happy for you to feel this way." Then he said, "I am shocked to hear that you have physical illnesses, eye problem, a knee problem." And he wrote, "I realize that you are as human as we are." Oh dear. I have no idea why he thought that I was anything less than human. So I wrote back to him and I said to him, "I would like to share with you a secret of living for the Lord the last 40 years. If you were to share with somebody how you live, why you live, what would you say?" What would you say? So I said to him, that I want to share with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And why do we want to memorize the Lord's Word? 2 Corinthians 4. I want to share this with you tonight as well. And I said to him, we have this ministry. We have a great ministry. And there are few ministries as great as knowing the Lord's Word, teaching the Lord's Word. And it is important that we never lose heart as we have this ministry. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. I spoke to him, I wrote to him, and I said, you know, we have a wonderful gospel. Verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This earthen vessel will perish one day. But within this earthen vessel, we have a great treasure. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a great, great treasure. And we don't want to take this for granted. How do we face life? He was asking me how to face life. And I said, verses 8 and 9 are two key verses. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Can we hide these words in our heart and make it a part of our life? This was what I shared with him. And I said, this word of God can sustain a person for life and for ministry for decades on end. So why do we want to hide God's word in our heart? Because it will affect our very life and ministry. I think this is something that we want to look at. Why we need to do this. The second part of it is to find motivation. Most of us recognize we need to read the Lord's Word more, hide the Lord's Word in our heart a little bit better, but no motivation. Every day is sitting in your home, no motivation to open it, no motivation to read it, no motivation. We need to find motivation. Maybe it is retreat, you will find motivation. Maybe interaction with each other, you will find motivation. And if you can't find motivation, you will find that memorizing the Lord's Word is so much more significant. One of the challenges of hiding God's Word, to me, is the word depth. If we merely hear and we understand and we even believe, it does not follow that we have depth. That's the challenge of life. To me, one of the challenges of life is to become a deeper person. For what's the point of just being shallow all throughout life? Can we go beyond just the superficial? Memorizing God's Word will help you. Be that. Do that. Well, this is another challenge. This is another goal. Okay? We'd like to share with you along the way how to do it more effectively, practically. Along the way, as you memorize God's Word, I hope you will find spiritual power. That's what Jesus said. His words are spirit and they are life. And there is power in that word of His. We must find it. Perhaps some of us need to ask ourselves, have we actually ever laid a foundation for our faith and our life? And sometimes
to our horror, we realize that our life is made up of many, many things we do. But we haven't really laid a foundation. And I'm hoping that hiding the Lord's Word will become foundational for you. And you're going to discover new texts, new thoughts, such as core texts. And of course, in anything, it requires spiritual discipline. It's easy to memorize the Lord's Word, say, at this retreat. After the retreat is over, not so easy to sustain that discipline. And then, of course, one of the greatest challenges is to find joy and delight in meditating on God's Word. And it's important. Okay? I will tell you what came to my mind as I was praying for the retreat. It was the prayer of Jean Valjean. Interestingly. And his words were, God on high, hear my prayer. He was praying as an older man for a younger man. And he was praying and saying, I am old. He is young. He's only a boy. And he prays that God would spare him. And if God needs to take a life, he offered his life so that the young may live. He is prepared to die. You know, that song has always been very moving to me. That prayer has always been very moving to me. Perhaps as I grow a little older, it's even more so. You know, as you grow older, you feel there is so much you want to impart. So much you want to say to the younger people. So much you want to tell them. So much you want to teach. But you realize, as you look at people who are younger, that it is not always there. If I were to look at everyone over here, short of Terrence, we are the two oldest guys around. And we want to impart this with all our heart, to share with you this word that we pray God would bless you with. Okay? I think this is important for us to consider. Well, so much for the goals. All right, any questions you want to ask? Okay, now, we go on into the text itself. The theme is, your word I have hidden in my heart. So, tonight we begin with two words, your word. And we're going to take a little bit of time to think about what this word of God really is. So, I had an interesting time reading the book of Psalms again. And I use the book of Psalms particularly because this segment of the scriptures is deeply personal. And I hope that you will look at the Lord's Word as something relevant, as something personal, as something that you can relate to fairly easily in the context of life itself. How should we look at the Word of God? And the psalmist used 15 different words to describe. And by no means exhaustive. Okay, I just want to share with you how we have so many different words. Why so many words? Why so many descriptive terms? Because the Word of God is far richer, far more comprehensive, far deeper, far more enriching than most of us realize. So if you think of the Word of God as just simply the Bible or the Scriptures, While those terms are good and correct, we would have missed so much more if we limit ourselves to one or two words. Right? So let's take a look at these words here that are there. One of the simplest words is with idea of the word law. Psalm 19. Let's take a look at this. And it will give you an idea of how the word of God came into being as we take a look at it. Okay, for example, we read the law of the Lord. Verse 7. How to memorize this text? My way of memorizing is to memorize 7-11. So we have got many 7-11s here. So whenever I think of 7-11, I think of Psalm 19. It's called a mnemonic device. I must tell you that I tend to memorize passages, texts, rather than a single verse. Because I often find that a single verse doesn't tell you, doesn't give you everything. So I memorize by the passage or the paragraph. Okay, so we have the word law. We have the word testimony. We have the word statutes. We have the word commandment. We have the word judgments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So from the one word law, we have four variations. Why these variations? The core itself would simply be the law of God. Say, the Ten Commandments. But along the way, somebody discovers a truth about the law. It becomes testimony. Can you see this? It becomes a testimony. It is the core is still the law. But it is now a testimony of or about the law. Okay? So we see this. Now, the Ten Commandments, there are only ten. But because of problems and complications of life and difficulties, there were many other things that are called statutes. And these are all added. The latest statute that is going to be added would be the idea of tax avoidance, tax evasion problem all over the world. Now, that's the thing, added statute. It was not a thing in the past. Austerity drives people. We need more money, tax the rich. Okay, the only people who are happy are the poor. You can go and tax all you want, nothing to tax. And of course, the people who are unhappiest are the wealthy ones. And when we're talking about wealthy companies, we are talking billions and trillions of tax dollars. So that's huge, I think. These are things which are added on. Okay? And then, of course, the commandment of the Lord is to emphasize the idea that each word was meant to be obeyed and not just a suggestion. And then, of course, these are the judgments. Sometimes you come across a situation and the judge has to make a judgment. Well, this is what we call a judgment. And you put them all together and we still have the Word of God. So what is the significance of all these things? Take a look at this in Psalm 19, and you will see. You will discover that the psalm is saying, the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, you can debate it, if you wish. But this is the testimony of the person. I have found the Lord's word perfect. What does he do? You know what? It has power to convert the soul. Well, what a wonderful thought this is. The testimony of the Lord, the simple can be made wise. It can rejoice the heart. It can enlighten the eyes. It can, you know, it is the things to be desired. So the Word of God, as we see it, is not just doctrine. It's not theology alone, although that is important. At the end of it all, it is personal and precious and real and powerful all the way. Okay? So we begin here by making a statement about the essential nature of the Word of God. Okay? That it is perfect. That it is enduring. It is capable of making wise the simple. These are essential things to be discovered. Now, how do we apply this in real life? Psalm 16. The psalmist says, this is how he looks at his life. He said that there are problems in life. And then he said, verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. You know, sometimes in life we need counsel. It's so important. Here is a person who has lost a job. What counsel can I have? Here is a person who is in ill health. What counsel will I receive? Here is a person with difficult family situation. What counsel can I find? Can you see this? And the psalmist says, even in grave danger, I have found counsel from God's Word. And I hope that you will find the Word of God along these lines. You will find counsel. Psalm 33 is another text that is just really worthwhile looking at. And in verse 4, he said, the word of the Lord is right. All His work done in truth. Okay? Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Do you want to discover God's will? Do you want to discover God's plans? Do you want to discover something that actually lasts for generations? So that one generation after another can say, this is wonderful. It's true. You find it in God's Word, in the Scriptures. This is why we study something that has stood the test of time, counsel, plans. Now, we take a big jump to Psalm 86. I didn't want to add too many others, otherwise we will just be snowed down. Okay? Psalm 86, let's take a look at this. And then in verse 11, we read, teach me your way, I will walk in your truth. See? Way, truth. And it's wonderful. So when we come and read the Scriptures, when we read the Bible, when we read God's Word, what are we hoping to find? God's way. That's what we were trying to find. God's truth. Psalm 92 is another precious text that tells us that God reveals His thoughts to us. Verse 5, O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. So there is the work of God. Behind the work of God are the thoughts of God. And the thoughts of God are very deep. A senseless person would not understand it. A foolish person can never comprehend it, unfortunately. Okay? Psalm 103. Here is another text. I must tell you that when I cite you 103, I would have read up to 103 Psalms already, because I go through each psalm very carefully and then sift out and then take out some of those things which are, I think, are very, very meaningful for us all. Okay, we read, bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His what? Word. Now, is that word or work? Now, you tell me. My eyes fail me. Alright, let's look at verse 20. He'll do His word, heeding the voice of His word. If angels pay attention to God's word, well, I want to as well. Okay? I wonder whether God conducts morning classes for the angels. And then He explains to them, alright, I want you to look after the world. And then the angels go out of the way to do all the things that they do. Well, His voice of His Word, to do His Word. Psalm 105 tells us that that Word, verse 8 to 10, we read, He remembers His covenants forever, verse 8, the Word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. So that's interesting, because the Word is now in covenant format. So if you really want to understand the covenant of God, it will be a study of His Word. Okay, and then of course we read in verse 19 about the words of God. The word of the Lord tested him, referring to Joseph. Okay? And 42 tells us about his promise. 42, and we read, He remembered His holy promise. And then 111, we have a whole section here that talk about the works of God. Okay? And the works of God and His Word, all His precepts are sure. Verse 7, they stand forever and ever, done in truth, uprightness. The works of God and the Word of God are so closely related. They are intertwined. Okay. Now, I think that this is kind of heavy for everybody. And you had dinner. And dinner study like this after dinner is not always very the best of combination. Okay. Use the dinner that you have taken. Ask questions. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Jay.
Pastor, when the word law is used, does it...
Sorry, if you need any... The mic here, I don't need a second one. Maybe Moses, you just hang in there. Yeah, thank you. Careful. Sorry?
When the word law is used, does it only refer to the Ten Commandments,
no,
or is it used to refer to the Torah?
Okay. When we use the word law, very, very often, just to give you an idea, okay, every time you study the Lord's Word, you must always look at the original context in which it is used. Okay? Because in every context, there will be differing contexts. And the differing context, you may use different words. The same word law may be used, but it would have a different application. So you look for different contexts and different applications. The meaning is the same. Okay? The meaning is the same in the sense of A. Let me give you the meaning of it all. The meaning would be, one, it speaks of the origin from God. So there is a divine origin. B, there is an authority that goes with the divine origin. Okay, so it may not therefore refer to the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue alone, but it would refer to that which comes from God, divine origin, the authority behind it. Okay, and of course the challenge is to ask ourselves whether we can interpret it correctly and whether we can verify that interpretation and then finally apply it in our life. Like in 7 to 11, the law of the Lord is perfect, you will find, as you verify it, as you interpret it, as you study it, as you understand it, it is truly perfect. Right? And then you see it applied to your life, and you begin to realize it truly converts the person. It will change the very life of the person. And then we just affirm again and again that the law of the Lord is indeed perfect. We have added testimony. We just added a testimony. The law is perfect. We just added a testimony to it and say, this is what it is. That's the nature of the word law. So it's richer than just simply one word. Okay? So within each word would be all these things. All right. Anything else you would like to raise up?
this is an example of how it works. So you can, those of you who are new, and they say, wow, I think tomorrow I'm not coming. Well, I understand how you feel, but press on anyway. We've just begun. Right? If food is any encouragement, eat. All right. Anything else you want to raise up? Okay, if not, very often when we study the scriptures and the Word of God, it is fair to say, can we compare it and contrast it with something so that we get a better picture? Please understand this, okay? We're not putting down your thoughts. You may have wonderful thoughts. But when we compare divine thoughts versus human thoughts, we are bound to see startling contrasts and comparisons. So we will share with you how the scriptures are very often studied. And here we go. Psalm 94 is verse 11 is an example. Okay, Psalm 94, and we read in verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of men. The thoughts of men. Okay? A lot of people think that economics is the answer to the world's problem. If the world is in a mess right now, people who studied economics like Ben Kwa, he's going to solve all the world's problems. He says, no, who's Ben Kwa? He's just going to change his name. There are no solutions. We all know it. What's the solution? Political solution? Prime Minister Lee goes to India, that's going to solve all the problems? He's going to Obama, is this going to solve all the problems? I'm not holding my breath. Politics is not the answer either. Okay? And we look at it very carefully. What is the answer? Doctors are going to solve, give us our altar. They're going to invent something that will create the perfect human being. That's the answer. What's the answer? Scientists, what would be the answer? Psychology will be the answer. Philosophy will be the answer. A lot of philosophies out there. Nobody has come up with an answer. And so God's thoughts are found in, look at Psalm 94, verse 11. The thoughts of men are futile. Look at all the things. Humanity has existed for thousands of years. What has it done? The problems of all are still very much the same. In the days of slavery, in the days of old, we still have slavery today. We have human trafficking today. We've added more problems to all these things. I mean, we all know this. What's the answer? There are no answers. How many times have they met on summit after summit after summit after summit after summit? Vietnam summits. Do you know how many summits there were before they resolved the war? Over 120 summits. How can there be a summit? Summit means the highest already. No. This is summit 110. And then truce, treaty. Next weekend, gone again. So we must have another summit. The summits put together is higher than Mount Everest. It's not working. And God's word tells us men's thoughts are futile. Jeremiah 23 is a list of things which we have, and we are reminded that these things are very, very true, and these are prophetically stated. Let's look at verse 16 and see. Okay, and we read in verse 16, and do not listen to the words of the prophets, the false prophets. Why? Because they speak a vision of their own heart. So when people, this buzzword today, what's your vision? How can a company have no vision? What's your vision? What's your mission? Jeremiah taught this years ago. What makes you think it's new? What's your vision? Very often it's a vision of our own heart. And our vision doesn't last very long. Singer didn't last very long. I quit. And we all know this. After a while, that singer is very tired. He needs to rest. So you need to find something else. And that won't last very long either. And of course, there are people that please don't quit. Where we go? We all know this. 23:17, we read about how they walk according to the dictates of his own heart. They speak of, oh, I have faith. Dictates of your own heart. Faith in what? Very often our heart tells us. Right? And outside the ITE building in Long Avenue 5. Is it Avenue 5? And then there's this really big sign. Because I believe. It's ITE. And according to Dominic, once upon a time, ITE is the end. And I'm glad you're not there. I'm glad you're out of it. But it can be quite sad. You see, if you look very carefully, I mean, we really, really hope that they will make good. ITE is literally the last ditch effort to give everybody a second chance. Do something with your life. We will help you. We'll give you a nice building. Give you a beautiful building. Give you every support we can have. I think the biggest amount of education money goes to this kind of work. Not to the special gifted program. It didn't. It went to this. Okay? And we all know. And we all would very much like to see this. Dictates of their own hearts, unfortunately. And we ask ourselves how far that would go. Okay? And then, of course, in Jeremiah 23 and verse 28, the Lord says, what is the chaff to the wheat? Wow. And verse 31, he talks about how they steal my words. And then everyone from his neighbor, and there we go. You're stealing the Lord's words. Steal my words. False dreams. 32. Lies. Recklessness. 36. Perverted the words of God. When it came to Jesus in his time, he said, it has been said by them of old. All these things were there. So if you were to compare God's word and man's word, anytime I would take God's word. Okay? Something that we need to look at very carefully. All right. Again, stop. Ask questions. Okay? I mean, there are lots of men's words. There are all these nice platitudes. You see them in inspirational calendars. And people spend a lot of money on to buy this one. And some of them are quite famous. I saw one with a big monkey gorilla. And then it says, where are you Friday? He was just looking moody and sad. And was waiting for Friday to come. That kind of poster also will sell. there are people who just can't wait for that Friday. And then, of course, then you added TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. And people are just so tired. Thank God it's Friday. Then they have food and drink. That's how desperate the world can get. Okay? It's something that we... I saw once in a poster at a restaurant. It had these words. Very interesting. IIWTTYWYBMAAD. So I asked the man who was there. So I said, excuse me, what is that? So he said, if I were to tell you, would you buy me a drink? So I said, so I said, why do you say that? And so he repeated himself, if I were to tell you, would you buy me a drink? If I were to tell you, would you buy me a drink? Can I tell you where it was found? It was in a bar. What are you doing in a bar? I knew that was forthcoming. Okay. Some bistros sell food. Okay. Not all go to bistros to drink. Some go and find out what those words mean. I'm a searcher of truth. So I look around and ask myself, what do I see? If I were to tell you, would you buy me a drink? And I was just taken aback at how clever those things are. But cleverness, how does that convert my soul? Seriously, how does that enlighten me? Except that's it. You go away, you feel angry. And you feel stupid. You feel, I'm never coming back again. How can you make me feel stupid? It doesn't do a thing. It doesn't do a thing. I hope you see the contrast and the comparison here. The nature of God's word is really quite different. It uplifts. It blesses. It encourages. These do not go, they don't go very, very far. Okay, when we say, all right, Pastor, I'm very encouraged, I am going to read God's Word, and I am going to memorize God's Word, where do I start? Do I start with Leviticus? Leviticus. Now, there are some people who, I know of a Bible school in Singapore, don't know whether it's closed down already. Before you can graduate, you must memorize Psalm 119. You can recite it, you can write it, and if you don't do it completely, you never get to graduate. I don't know how many graduates they have. I think the school closed down after that. How do you do that? Now, is this what it's all about? And so if you are very discouraged, wow, so many books, 66 books, and how do I memorize all? You're not asked to do that. So we begin with what we call core texts. Okay? Core texts. C-O-R-T-E-X. Core texts. That's how you remember things. All right, here we go. What are some texts which are core? Okay, this is very important. So we look at it, and I'll be explaining this a little bit more later on. But they're basically essential, vital care. Now, this is very, very important. And this is core. Okay, once, years ago, I was driving along Brattle Road, And there was an accident. And there was this accident where I saw, you know, was car slowing down. And on the left side, on the verge there, there was a young lady who was, she looked a bit dazed. And she was resting on a tree. And there was an old lady lying on the ground. So car stopped, especially young men stopped. And they saw this accident. And they went to ask the lady, "Are you alright? You okay? Can I help you in any way?" And the old lady could be dying. "Look, she looks alright. Are you okay?" And I was just absolutely amazed at how, to them, core is a young lady. Non-core, the older lady. It does not help. It does not encourage the older people. If there were something like that, if I were involved in an accident and here is a young lady and her person will most likely attend, let me die, never mind. Let the young person live. No. Core has to do with really, really the essential. Okay? The vital, the essential, that which is you cannot do without. Jesus says that His teachings are foundational. You can build your house upon His teachings. And the storms of life will not be able to assail, overwhelm, and destroy that house. Now that is quite a challenge. Okay? So this is where we build on this idea of a core or foundational word. Now I must tell you a little bit about this nature. There are many, many types of cortex. There are cortex concerning the person of God. There are cortex on salvation. There are cortex on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are cortex about the kingdom of God. There are cortex on prophecy. There are cortex on the Holy Spirit. There are many, many, many cortex, not just one or two. So depending upon your doctrine that you want to study, there you must find that core text first, upon which you build all the others. Okay? So here I'm giving you some texts concerning the nature of God's Word. Okay? So we are going to take a look at this and see what is that nature of God's Word. This is important. I like Deuteronomy 9. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 here, and in verse 10, we read these words. I like this. Then the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. I like this. This word finger of God reminds me of Cecil B. DeMille. The Ten Commandments. Thou shall have no other God before me. And he was there, you know. And then all the words written, and then everyone emblazoned. And it has stayed with me this 40-something years. 45 years, at least, maybe 50 years, you know. I mean, it's been there for all these years. It's never left my mind. And so the word finger of God is just a nature, it's a wonderful thing. If ever today somebody would have discovered, not the first text, the first text is already broken, but their second text and it was kept, then of course their legends would tell us that they are actually hidden. We don't know where they are, so readers of the Lost Ark still trying to find where they are, and you cannot open, great power will come. But truly, they are written the finger of God. Okay? So, this is the nature from God Himself. Right? In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 2, we read these words. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. I wish we would regard God's word properly. Don't try to add don't try to do anything creative. I urge you, don't. You know, and I'm just reminded, every time I go to my barber, he would ask me whether I want to change hairstyle. And then I see this 1,000 different hairstyles. So I search everyone. And I can never find mine inside. So mine is 1,001. So I see, you see the one? The last one there? 1,000? No, no. The blank page? That's mine. Well, how come you want to do it? You shall not alter. You shall not add. That's how I memorize God's word. You know, it sort of, it helps you to know. You don't alter. You don't add here. You want a perm? No. You just imagine if I would have come to church and I'm on a pulpit with a permed hair. Who would be concentrating on that day? People will be wondering, what's up? Is it true? Is it not? What? So, you know, that's how it... So, this is how I memorize God's word, you know. So, don't add, don't alter. So, right, this is just a good way of learning how. I appreciate this. In chapter 12 of the book of Psalms, Psalm 12. What about chapter 12? Psalm 12. Let's take a look at this. Psalm 12. And I love this. This is very, very good. The words of the Lord are pure words. Okay? And there is a comparison here. The psalmist says, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, it doesn't mean the word of God needs to be purified seven times. No. The nature of God's word is that it is so pure, silver has to be purified seven times before it can be even compared to God's purity. The purity of God's word. That's how pure it gets. Well, that I like. So whenever I read things, when I read theology, when I read other different ways of talking about serving God, all I need to ask myself is, one, has it been altered? Is it still pure? That's it. Okay? And I don't mean to comment on things which are in the newspapers right now. But this idea of a crossover theology. We must go into the secular world. Would break this word straight away. Obviously. We have altered. We have changed. How do we? The Lord Jesus tells us, we're not of this world. Why do we want to be part of the world? Can you see this? That's how you appreciate the Word of God in its application. That's how it works. Now, let's go on further. Psalm 18 and verse 30. Okay, let's take a look at this. Psalm 18. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. That's the idea of perfect. You will see the Lord's word, what He has promised. It will be proven that His word is believable and it is true. Then you have the idea of perfection here. Okay? So this is what we are seeing, pure words, proven words. And of course, we have already made reference to Psalm 19. There is the power of God's word to convert a soul. But that is the nature of the Lord's word. Psalm 33, again, let's take a look at this particular psalm. And we look at how this word, 33 and verse 11, and we read how the counsel of the Lord stands forever. There is eternity here. Eternal nature of it all. 11b, the plans of His heart. Do you want to know what is in God's heart? In the Word, it is revealed. that it is revelatory. Okay? So this is really, really wonderful. And of course, we are told they are holy promises. And 1 Peter tells us very, very much so. 2 Peter tells us the same thing. We have outstanding promises from the Lord. And of course, Psalm 89, the classic psalm on the Davidic covenant, how God will always keep His word. All right, over to you for questions again. Anything you would like to raise up, I'd be very happy to take it up with you. Okay? Now, here is the challenge. What is the thing that we are trying to do at this YAG retreat after this exposition is actually given? I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, and then we look at chapter 8 and verse 10. Now, this was the Mother's Day message, and I've been hearing from a number of people talking about how they were encouraged because God will have to do this work. In chapter 8, and reading from verse 8, "Behold," he says, "the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not according to the covenants that I made with their fathers." Verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts." This is what we are hoping to discover and to experience as we look at this YAG retreat. Okay? It is not just a message that I want to bring over to you. I do want to bring this message to you. But more, I am praying that God will put His law into your mind. God will write His law upon your heart. This is the best way to memorize God's word. So, there are two parts. Let me memorize. But you realize, of course, that when we memorize, we forget. We memorize this week, next week, forget last week's verse. And it's every time it's like that. I memorize 1 week, forget last week. Memorize 1 week, forget last week. That's how we all are. We learn in primary one many things. Primary two, forget primary one. Primary three, forget primary four. Not four, primary two. And so on and so forth. We keep forgetting until we really ask ourselves, what do we remember? Precious little. This YAG retreat is where I'd like very much to share with you what God is writing upon your heart, putting into your mind. Because if we would just go away and just simply say, you know, I like this verse, I like to memorize it. Oh yeah, it's good for the moment. You feel very happy about it. And it's wonderful for the moment. But it doesn't last. There is a work that very few people know about. That as you begin to attempt to hide God's word in your heart, something happens. And God writes upon your heart and your mind. What would He write upon your heart and your mind tonight? How does that work? How does it really, really work? Now, I'll be very happy to hear from you. And you can stand up and say,
Can I share a testimony? Or by all means. But I would like to ask you to focus. What has God written upon your heart? What has God put into your mind? What core text has God put into your heart, in your mind? And you know, most of us are hard put to come up with an answer. We have to understand this. Otherwise, we'll just go away and we don't know what the Lord has put upon our heart and upon our mind. What? All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 8 again and we'll see this. We'll go on further. To what extent? And I will be their God and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. Wow. But that's not true for many of us. We don't know we cannot say, know the Lord. Or I know the Lord already. That is a part. The Word of God has written in our heart so deeply. It's there inside heart and mind. What do you think the Lord will write upon your heart tonight? Now, I'm not going to ask you how many Bible verses you know. I'm asking you what God has put into your mind and into your heart. And when God writes with His fingers, it's going to be there for the rest of your life. It's going to change you. As He changed Moses, when he came down, his face glowed. His face glistened. His face was different, symbolic of the change that had taken place. Of course, Jezebel the male began to show his face, his hair all turned white. Most of us turn white because of worry. And we have written upon our heart, worry. Why pray when you can worry? And so we worry. Unfortunately. And once the white hairs come, cannot change. What is God putting into our mind, writing upon our heart tonight? Now, you must answer that question, because I can't tell you. I do know what He wants to write. What do you think He wants to write? From 8 down here. This passage is such a precious text. Can I tell you what God wants to write upon your heart tonight? Then you ponder this very carefully. Okay? And He said, I will make a new covenant. He will write upon our mind, upon our hearts, a new covenant. We now have a new covenant relationship between God and us. How wonderful. Okay, now we go on further. Now this covenant is not made of laws. Okay, that is written on stone. This is not what it is going to be. But it is going to be written upon heart. What does that mean? Okay, well, let's take a look at another text to help us to understand what this is all about. Okay? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read about what God will do and what He is going to do with reference to revealing His truth to us. The Spirit of God will write upon our hearts explain things to us, teach us, and we will begin to understand things at a far greater level. So there is going to be an operation of the Spirit of God upon our hearts so that we will be able to comprehend what He is doing in us, in our hearts. Okay? So you have to watch this. So it's not just a matter of memorizing God's Word. It's not a matter of, I'm going to hide the Word of God in my heart. It's not what it is. There is a special operation. You make the effort. You offer this prayer to God and you say, please, write, put this in my mind. Write this on my heart. You will be surprised how different that would be. The Spirit of God will explain to us what this is all about. This idea of a new covenant. Okay? In verse 10, what God will say, He will put His laws in the mind, write them on the heart. In Romans 8, there is this thing called the law of the Spirit. And He will write upon our heart, there is a law of the Spirit at work. Okay? And so there are many, many things that God would write upon our heart. And I like this part of it. I will be their God, they shall be my people. Written upon my heart, this is my God. I am one of His people. And nothing could be more precious than that. Ephesians 2 tells us, we are no longer strangers. We are no longer aliens. We are part of the household of God. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Galatians 3. You see, God has written that upon the mind and upon the heart, and they will be there forever. That's God's work. It's not just your work. Okay? So when you try to write, hide the Lord's word in your heart, and in this new covenant context, God is going to do something special. But He went on further. Know the Lord. He all shall know me. That is that general vague knowledge of God, which is not all the time terribly useful. But this idea, they shall all know me, is a beautiful word. Okay, the Lord is going to write upon their hearts, and each one, they will be able to say, know the Lord. And this idea of knowing the Lord is the idea of the Gnostics call this the Gnosis. The Gnostics like to speak of a special secret knowledge of God. We have the word diagnosis. You have the word prognosis. This gnosis is knowledge. See? You know a little bit of medicine through Greek. Well, the finest physicians in the past were Greeks. Anyway. You see? This is what we're talking about. This is what God means when He says, they shall know me. This is gnosis. This is knowledge. Here. Diagnosis. Prognosis. From this word. It's not just a general idea.
If you go to a general idea and this person says he went to see the doctor and the doctor, I think I've got liver cancer. He said, the doctor says, how do you know? This particular liver cancer got no symptoms. Exactly. That's not very helpful. We want them to know. We want to know. If you go to a doctor, especially a specialist, you expect that a person will know a little bit more than what I know. I know something about my eyes. Not very much. When he tells me, he only confirms what I know. Why do I want to call him a specialist for? If he knows, I know about it as much as you do. I'm sunk. He's sunk. Of course not. He knows. So he will be able to look at his diagnostic test and tell me exactly what's wrong. And he can give me a little bit of hope. The prognosis is quite good. So I go away and I'm at least comforted. You shall know God. Not in the general sense of the word. You will know. This is God. This is important. Okay? And we will know God along these lines. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Will it mean that if now that I know God's word, I will now have no sin? No. The sin problem will always be there. But you will see a tenderness of God's mercy. How wonderful it is to have a tenderness of God's mercy extended. And so, God wants us to understand and appreciate Him in this new way. The Jews in the days of Paul had the hardest time. They couldn't understand this idea of a new covenant. They rejected it. And thus, in Acts 13, we read, they judged themselves unworthy of eternal salvation, of eternal life. They rejected it. Not only did they reject it, they opposed anybody who preached it. They persecuted everybody who proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah in a new covenant context. But those who heard it, even if they heard it for the first time, instantly, they knew this are the words of God. So when we read Acts 13, the Antiochian people, Pisidia, for the first time when they heard this gospel, they recognized it immediately. This is the word of God. They glorified it as the word of God. They want to hear more of the word of God. They got a whole city together to hear the word of God. Instantly. That is what God is doing in the heart of a person when he writes. Go back to Psalm 19. The law of the Lord, you recognize it, its perfection, it converts us. Here is a simple, suddenly he becomes a little wiser. The heart learns how to rejoice even in times of sadness. There is hope. He delights in the law of the Lord. This is the work of God upon our minds, upon our hearts. This is what this retreat is all aimed towards. So that when you go away, you may not be able to remember 10% of what I just said. But the work of God has already begun in your heart. Your heart is stirred. Your mind is challenged. And you begin to recognize, well, I'm going to have a new sense of appreciation for the Word of God. Okay? Now, I'm not going to recommend that you should now spend a whole night reading the everything here. Tomorrow, you'll be so tired. Okay? So, I'm not going to ask you to do that. But take time to ponder what this great work. What is God putting in our mind, writing upon our hearts? Have you ever experienced that? And every day, you ask yourself, what is God writing upon my heart, putting into my mind? And you will find it would be, I'm God to you, you're my people. There is a special closeness. This is what this German friend wrote over. Okay? If he becomes a pastor, he'll be a German shepherd. So he wrote to me, he said, I really like what you wrote about, what you said about being close to God. This is what it's all about. There is a closeness to God that He wants to create for us. You see, when we hide His Word in our heart, that Word hidden in our heart draws us closer to God. That's what it is. So that He can say, He is our God. We are His people. And when we falter, when we stumble, when we fall, He's there. He will be merciful. He will be kind. He will be gracious. Can you see this? And it's wonderful to be able to have such a relationship with God. Where, you know, God is not just a distant person out there. A vague divine being. But He is very, very, very precious. And He's wonderful. And there is a joy within the heart that no one can take it away from. That's what we're looking at. This is a new covenant. He is not a God who is up in a mountain with thunder and lightning and fire and dark cloud, where you're not allowed to come close lest you die. You don't have to be up there 40 days, 40 nights just to receive the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments in two tablets. He's going to write all these things upon your heart, upon your mind. That's how real, how close, how personal God can become to us. That is what memorizing the Lord's Word is all about. Your Word. So tonight, we ask ourselves, what have we learned? And your reply, God must be, have written His Word. We now have an appreciation of His Word. You don't have to be able to say, I know 15 variations of the Word of God. That's not what is good. God is not going to test you. And you miss it one, you miss it one, miss it one. 2 upon 15, fail. No. He is not going to tell you, you fail. He just needs to write one thing. His Word. My Word I've written in your heart. Your part, you hide His Word in your heart. His part, He will write it upon your heart. Put it into your mind. Call. He is our God who draws close. Call, we are His people. Not just Israel. We, Galatians 3 tells us, we are His people. Heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. We are Abraham's seed. These are precious, precious truths that we must never take for granted. Now, I don't know whether that does anything for you. But I know that this is going to keep me. This is going to keep me close to the Lord. I'm going to be very, very encouraged. So if sometimes I get very, very frustrated because I cannot remember. Where is the text? I cannot remember. I was... just want to ask, YC, you just found one verse went off, is it? Or only one? I am so happy. He is my checker there for this retreat here. There are scores and scores and verses he came to me. And is this verse 62 or verse 42? And he says, I think it is the other verse. And I said, well, he's right. I'm glad. I really thank God for opening a pair of eyes. So I really am glad. You know, especially when I see, I don't know whether it's 42 or 62. And sometimes 4 and 6 cannot tell the difference. close work. And the Lord tells me, it's okay, don't worry about it. I have written my word upon your heart. I put my laws in your mind. What if this is the reason why I can recall? What if this is a way I have been able to recall these various texts all these years? So it's not just memory. I do not have a phenomenal memory, I must tell you. I certainly do not. I am just amazed that my heart can remember so many things. My mind can remember so many things. What if this is actually Hebrews 8:10 in fulfillment? What if God can do the same for you? What if God can do this for you? Put it down in your heart. Right? And that would be just absolutely wonderful. What is God like? He's not far away. He just wants you to be close. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will put my law. I'll tell you what I want you to do. In your heart, in your mind. And when you fail, when you will falter, when you stumble, listen, it's okay. I want to tell you, I'm going to be there with my mercy and I will help you. What a wonderful God we have. These have been written in my heart a long, long time ago. I want to share this with you so that when you talk about a faith in God, it is not about, I have tried it and I failed. And many people are discouraged when it comes to writing God's word in their heart. They keep on thinking, I keep on trying, I keep on failing, I cannot remember, why bother to try? No. Stop. That's not what it's all about. What has God written upon your heart? Let Him put it into your mind. So that even if you cannot remember that particular text and that verse goes wrong, it's okay. It's okay to do this. Because the truth is the truth. Okay? You may misplace a word. You may misuse a word. You may not know what it's all about sometimes. It's okay. Because that's the way God writes upon our hearts and our minds. Not pressure. Okay, memorize. No. Not going to, before you get out from here, you must memorize everything. No. This is to encourage, to uplift, to enlighten. But it is not to, memorizing God's word was not meant to be a pressure. It's just to tell you. It's just like we tell our children many, many times. Okay? We tell our children that we love them a million times. Don't know what gets in, actually. You really wonder whatever gets in. And then off they go. Hardly anything that we say actually registers. Oh, don't forget to say thank you. What do you say? You could have said 1,000 times. Only one thing got through. That's it. We all know how hard it is. God is far more patient than we are as parents. It's okay. I'll do it again. Here, I'll do it again. How long does it take to write upon our hearts, put it into our minds? As long as it takes. Lovingly, patiently, powerfully, He will write. And if you allow your heart and mind to be open to God's Spirit, giving you the understanding, one day it will be written upon your heart and your mind. Now this is God's part. I will talk about our part later on. But this is God's part. Okay? Is it possible to actually recall Bible lessons, great truths that you heard some 30, 40 years ago? Yes. For that is the way God writes upon our hearts and our minds. If nothing else, go away with His glorious truth. Let this impact your heart. Let this impact your mind. Ask the Lord, Lord, write upon my heart. Put this upon in my mind. Remind me. You know the song says, remind me. We are human and we forget. Remind me. And truly, we need to ask the Lord, would He mind reminding us? No, He will not. He will teach us. Morning by morning, He will do this. It's something that we need to think about very carefully. Alright, any questions you want to ask? To hide the Lord's word in your heart. So, Hebrews 8:10 is a beautiful... Now, I have given you many beautiful things. Okay? Now, you not us expecting you... Wow, so many. Some 19, some 16, some 33, some 86, some 92. Yeah, wow, some 111. Am I memorizing everything? No, you cannot. But if after 40 years, I only know one verse, and I'm in trouble. Of course not. But God will patiently write this upon your heart, put this into your mind. Let this text impact you. This is what God wants us to do. But remember, this writing got two parts. So one day, after Moses was so angry, he broke the thing. Okay, now you go and make the two stones. And I will write for you. Okay? Well, we're going to do it all over again. And God will do it again. How wonderful it is. To me, imagine. If God writes upon a stone, it's so marvelous, it's so powerful. It's that image. Thou shalt have no other God before me. You must have a voice like that too. You. And then so on and so forth. Wow. Imagine God writing upon our hearts, putting His law into our mind. If you ever have experienced that, you will see a life-transforming experience. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is one chapter written upon my heart and my mind. Therefore, having received this ministry, we do not lose heart. And every time there's weakness, I'm reminded, this is an earthen vessel, but we have a treasure of God in this earthen vessel. How wonderful it is to know this. Okay? So let these words be in your heart, in your mind. Let God write it for you. And please keep still what He is writing. It's more painful when you keep on moving around. And when you keep on moving around, you can't see what is written, what He has written. I want to write. You move. So let your heart be still. This is why they put people to sleep at operation. Cannot stand it. You know, when doctors will ask me, but I do for go for procedure. You want to see it? I said, no, I don't want to see. Because I might just respond and I react. No matter how brave I may be, I may just do something silly. Okay, wake me up when you are done. Well, that probably works better. Why don't we be still and let God write upon our hearts? Be still. Let Him write. What's He writing upon your heart? What is He putting in your mind? And He will tell you, I'm your God. You're my people. Like Isaiah 41, you are mine. I have loved you. I have honored you. How wonderful these words can be put into our hearts. Think about this. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You so very much for this wonderful truth about You writing upon our hearts, putting Your law into our minds. That You are our God, we are Your people, and that You will exercise mercy when we fail, we fall, we stumble, we falter. We thank you for the God that you are, for the wonderful, wonderful God that you are. Teach us right upon our hearts how we may love you and how we ought to deepen this love for you. We pray that you bring us back home safely and bring us back here tomorrow to read your word, to understand it and appreciate it afresh, and to go deeper in our understanding of your word. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, congratulations, you survived the first session. Now, 7 more to go and counting. Right? Yes. Good night and God bless.
Okay, thank you, Pastor, for teaching us the importance of having core texts in our life and also what it means to have God write His word upon